Welcome to This Is Whole Life, a podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida.
Join me, Ken Wetmore, lead pastor, and Melanie Bachman, our worship pastor, along with our communication team, Randy and Lucas. Take a look back, a look deeper, and a peek into the week ahead.
Here we explore meaningful conversations about spirituality, community, and living with purpose.
We don't have all the answers, but we are walking the journey together.
Wherever you're listening from, you're wanted here.
This is Whole Life.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 504 of This is Whole Life. We are speaking again this week about greater things. Actually, we're going to be speaking about greater things all year. But this is episode 5 of 5. As we take a look at greater things, our theme for this year, as we look ahead for the, well, we look past for the past 100 years. We're celebrating 100 years this year at Whole Life, and we look forward to maybe what the next at least 10 have, and that's all about greater things and the greater things that are yet to come. And this week, we're a little bit different. It feels a little cold and a little lonely in the studio, because Melanie Bachman, who is usually across and left from me on the table, is not here. And Kenny Appleseed is joining us from, if you watched a sermon.
That is awesome.
You know, you might, you'll get the reference. We'll talk about it later if you didn't watch the message already. And I can only assume that where Ken is calling in from, San Diego, California, has to be warmer than the 38 degrees that I woke up to this morning here in Orlando, Florida. And I know I'm getting...
Randy, I just, I said, once it got down to 25 degrees, I said, this is not why I was going. I moved to Florida. And so I hopped on a plane to a place that would give me the temperatures that I expect from Florida. So yeah, I'm in San Diego right now. And the temperature right now is 54 degrees, supposed to hit 74 by the warmest part of the day. So what's it like there for you?
Last time I checked, it was 42 when I was actually sitting down this morning to put the finishing touches on the show this morning. And I was like, come on now.
You're at 49.
Oh, is that, well, it's, we're on the uptick, so I guess that's okay. Yeah. But
oh, I guess it's safe for me to come back then. Anyway, we're within 4 degrees. I guess I can make that work.
I don't think 33 this morning.
In all seriousness, I'm out in San Diego because every year lead pastors from Seventh-day Adventist University and college campuses get together for meetings for a couple days. And it's really one of my favorite meetings that I attend on a regular basis. It's a really wonderful group of pastors who really kind of have a lot of the same kind of opportunities and some of the same kind of challenges, and being able to get together and chat with each other and share and learn and grow together is super helpful. So that's what I'm doing. We basically meet in the morning and afternoon and run through a lot of different topics that are relevant to the campus churches and to large churches. And so I really enjoy these meetings and get a lot out of them.
So you there all week or just a couple days?
No, I'll be back Thursday.
Okay.
And so I'll be here for the weekend. Looking forward to that because we've got some really fun stuff coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we do.
Yep. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, I didn't look at the weather, but I'm like, it's got to be warmer in San Diego than it is in Florida right now. And I'm like, Ken picked a good time. I'm like, that's just, you just can't get any better.
I'll tell you, yesterday was definitely really a lot better. So for sure. So
well, it's only on the uptick from here or the rest of the week. I mean, it's not going to be normal, but it'll at least be livable.
Well, the crazy thing is the swing in temperatures, right? I'm looking at Altamont Springs. Tomorrow is supposed to be a low of 38 and a high of 71. That's
a big switch.
That's a really big swing in 24 hours. I think, let's see, tomorrow here is going to help. Yeah, tomorrow, Wednesday in San Diego, is going to be 53 to 81.
Wow. That's wild. We've lived in Florida. Let's see, we moved August of 01. So it'll be 25 years this August that we've been in Florida. And this is by far, I mean, we've had some winters where you get the week or two, but it feels like we've had so much of this year that it's just been so cold. And I'm like, I don't like it. And the older I get, the less I like it. So
yeah, everybody complains about how hot it gets in Florida, but I don't, because I will trade hot for rigid. I mean, you're never going to get everything you want, but oh my goodness, I will take the heat over the cold anytime. I just, like you said, as you get older, your bones need the warmth.
Absolutely. I talked to my family who still live in Wisconsin, primarily most of my family, and it was minus 17 degrees the other day.
And
the wind chills were like negative 30 something. And then a friend of mine who lives further north in a little town called Rhinelander, my mom growing up used to live in Rhinelander, and it was negative 59 temperature without the wind. And I'm like, come on, this isn't even,
thank you.
No, thank you. And here I'm thinking I think I looked at the weather app through the night. I woke up and it was cold. And of course my wife has a garden and all kinds of succulents and different things. And we moved stuff in the garage. We covered stuff. We put warm buckets of water underneath the stuff, the lights, the whole thing. And the wind chill at one point said it felt like 19 when I looked at the thing. And I was like, okay, well, that's still not negative 17 or the wind chill. Right. So I'm like, take it all with a grain of salt. But at the same time, yeesh, I'm ready for I get my Harley back this week. I just spoke with my guy this morning. And those 70-degree afternoons are going to have to require some wind in the hair therapy, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, hey, we're going to start off the show. We got a text from Anonymous, and I want to read that before we get started into this week's message and this week's program. It says, so Wednesday, when I listened to the podcast, I actually thought to myself, I wonder if they pray before they start the podcast. So let me just stop you there. We do actually pray before every episode, just that the things that we're talking about are meaningful to those that are listening, and that God would really send the Holy Spirit to listening ears that would just interpret not what we say or what we think necessarily, but a piece or a portion or the unsaid part that only the Holy Spirit can tickle an ear or change a heart and a soul to really take in what he has for them, more so than we do the best we can for a topic and and what we're preaching on and what we talk about and diving deeper. But that depth can't be anywhere close to what the Holy Spirit can do. So that is our prayer essentially before every episode. So he continues, I wonder how it would be received if they did that on air. And then Ken did a prayer in a moment of silence. I was driving and I cried. I actually love crying. It's such a good release, and it's such a pleasant release and an organic release, reminiscent of our youth when we could just cry. I cry at movies, corny ones and good ones. I cry at baptisms and baby dedications. I cried at the moment of silence for strangers who stood up for justice. I appreciated the moment and it filled my heart. I just wanted to say thanks for that. I'm so excited for greater things. It's like a personal challenge. How can I give and do more? Where can we grow? What's in store? I love my family, I love my wife, and I love seeing how God works through them. I love seeing how he coordinates things with them through the church that I don't even know about. I love seeing him in them and knowing that the world is a better place because of them. I love seeing his heart in them. Last week, we had family promise at the church, and I love bragging on our church to be able to host this. What a great ministry. These families felt love from so many people in our church, and it's amazing. Much love, Anonymous.
Thanks, Anonymous.
Yeah, thank you. And, it's always one of those things. And, Ken and Melanie and I spent probably, 20 minutes, half an hour before the show, just deciding how we wanted to address the comments and the prayer that Ken did, and making sure that people felt what we felt and what maybe they were worried about and addressing concerns and all of that. And it just... it feels tough to know exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And I think it turned out really well. So thanks, Anonymous, for the feedback in mentioning that, because that makes it feel like maybe we struck the right mix. So that's perfect. Thank you. All right. So we've done mission. We did values. We did growth. And what am I missing? Mission, values, growth.
We started off with an explanation of what greater things means.
That's right. That's because I'm like, wait a minute, that's only four. Where's five? I wrote this. The sad part is I wrote this down. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know this is week five. So where was the other one when we only have the four? But yeah, that's right. So we did the explainer. And this one kind of felt like it was kind of a wrap up and an explainer in itself. And so there's just a ton of guys. If you missed any of these messages, please do go back, swipe up in today's show notes. There's a link to our sister podcast called Speaking of Grace, and everything and all of those messages are there just in case, like you're jumping in on this episode and you're going, okay, well, vision, great. But what about mission? What about all the rest of it? Just go back and you'll see those messages starting right at the beginning of the year and moving to this point. So please don't miss any of those. And I just keep smiling to myself that we've this bowling analogy. I wasn't sure if you were going to just keep it the whole time, and solid work.
I finished strong with it, Randy. I finished strong with that bowling. For somebody who doesn't bowl well, I finished really well.
Well, it sounds like in a couple of weeks we have the Down Syndrome Foundation bowl-a-thon to raise money. So maybe I need to bring Ken in as my ringer for team Sparkle.
You would probably want to bring me in as your prayer. I can pray for you, but you don't want me on your team if you want to win.
Well, it's less about winning and more about fun, but they do also, okay. They do also allow bumpers, and they,
okay, well, there we go. I'm in.
That's right. And they allow I don't know what you call the little portable ramps that you can put your ball on.
Little ramp that
That's
I can use that too.
I do. I'm with no shame anymore. I'm just like, yeah.
I would really like to see them create a ramp that's for 6 foot tall people so that, you know, you really get a little extra, you know.
Yeah, you should.
Extra running, right? Wow. Because they're usually only about 2.5 feet tall. So I think you make that thing about 5.5 feet tall and see what we can do there.
What if we showed up with our own ramp to the bowling alley?
Oh my, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
It takes 2 men and a small child to carry it into the bowling alley.
You have to lift Sparkle up to put the ball on.
Maybe you can make it like a slide. You know, the good old-fashioned slides like when you and I were kids, Ken, where, you know, you felt like you were climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah, we could put steps up.
Oh, my.
Oh, see what happens when Melanie's not here? She's just not here to corral all the good ideas.
Greater strikes.
Yeah, exactly.
Greater strikes. Oh, there's so many opportunities here. There's so many opportunities. Well, we kind of reviewed everything this week, which is good. Again, we had the explainer. We went through our values and our growth. And then we're ending with in the mission and then ending with vision. And the vision is the next step towards the mission. And when you read it again, and, you know, I was a part of this process just like you. I've heard this so many times. But when you said it again in front of the whole church, both services, by 2036, Whole Life will amplify our culture of spiritual growth, wholeness, and inclusion through a vibrant network of 100 churches and microsites. And then you ask the question, why that? And yeah. I get sweaty every time you say it. Does it still make you feel a little sweaty, a little apprehensive?
I get butterflies in my tummy.
And it makes me nervous to the point where I think to myself, have we just, you know, have we bitten off more than we can chew and possibly hope to accomplish? And yet when you started to kind of lay it out and just reminding everyone that, you know, this isn't, you know, the whole life staff, the whole life church board, the, you know, the committee, any committee, whatever, it's all of us working together. And that there are a lot of smart, driven people here at the church that it's going to take all of us to make this happen. And on top of that, it's going to take God deciding how this happens for it to really come together. I would agree that there is, or say that there's no possible way us alone could get this done. Agreed?
No. Oh, totally. Yeah. I've been asked so many times, well, how did you come up with the number 100? Did you do a deep analysis of your opportunities and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the truth was, and Randy, you were a part of that. We picked a number that felt impossible and used that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I felt like when it put it into context, when you talked about the Florida Conference, which is the Florida Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, which we are a part of here in Florida, and the conference is just Florida. This conference is just Florida. The others may contain more than one state, but being the size of Florida, it's just the state, has 300 churches. So we're saying, hey, how long has the conference been around, you know?
Over 100 years.
Right. It has to be, because if we're 100 years, yeah, it's got to be more. So it's been over a century of churches starting out of necessity, out of, you know, everything that causes a church to pop up and grow. And 100 years are like, hey, we've got 300. We're like, hey, in 10 years, we'll see your 300 and we'll reduce it by 2/3, but we'll still make 100.
Well, let's be 100% clear on this. We're not talking about 100 fully formed churches necessarily.
That's true.
There will be churches in that, but we're also talking about, what we're really talking about is also microsites, which people ask, well, what does that mean? Well, it could mean anything from people meeting in their home as a kind of a small home church type of thing, to maybe people meeting on the campus of a hospital or hospitals that maybe bring in whole life's services and kind of create a little microsite there. So there's a lot of different options available to us, and so I think I wouldn't want to say, we're going to create, you know, what you might traditionally think of as a church, as much as we're going to say, let's think outside the box about let's think about what church is. It's a group of people, and then let's go ahead and figure out how to grow God's kingdom by creating more churches and church microsites.
I thought the part that I didn't know what you were going to say until you said it, but when you said, but I know the world will be a better place if God will do this, to answer the question of why, that the world would be a better place, and we believe that it would be if there were more, would be a better place with more whole life churches. And I was like, well, you know, and as we went through that process, and, you know, we heard a lot of stories, a lot of people shared stories from either growing up or places that they had been and maybe hadn't been so welcome, and all the different things that churches can get wrong or maybe aren't always so good at. And then also looking at ourselves and saying, what could we do better? How could we make this a better process? How can we be a better church on a consistent basis and, you know, not leave someone feeling like that they didn't get a chance to meet Jesus while they were in our spiritual care. And just thinking about that really put a smile on my face. And I'm sure we probably talked about that in maybe the same words during the process, but just to think of what the world would be like and what a better place it would be if there were even just 199 more whole life churches on a, like you said, maybe not a full church scale, but just a group of people that meet that have the same mission, vision, and values as whole life, that has to be something that changes the world to be better.
Yep, that culture of spiritual growth, that culture of inclusion, culture of service, unconditional love. Yeah, I think the world would be a lot better place if that culture spread.
Yeah. And the part that I wasn't expecting, you said, I hope it looks completely different than I think. Like, what could it look like be when God gets his, you know, control on this, and as he continues to lead, not only through the process that's brought us this far, the hundreds or thousands of hours that have been spent already, and the thousands more that will continue as we go through this process. But thinking of what could it look like, in some ways, it's very exciting. And in other ways, it's just terrifying to me all at the same time.
It is. I think it's a big, audacious goal. And I think it's worthy of a church that is capable of it. And I think one of the things, Randy, that maybe you might not have been able to see that I could see is when I said, is this possible? Can we do it? Was watching all the people in the congregation who were vigorously saying, yes, this is possible. I
really
had people come up to me afterwards and they're like, God is going to do this. I know that. I think this is not impossible. I think that God is totally in this, and I think totally can make it happen. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Whole life. Look at you go. I love it. I mean, it's one thing when you hope and you feel like God is, well, you know that God is leading the process, but you're never, at least for me, I wasn't sure how, what we came up with and what the result of the process and the hours was, would be something that, not that people wouldn't like or would be like, oh, that was a lot of wasted time for, you know, whatever. But also, would it be something that people would get excited about? To the point that, like you said, when you're telling everyone, you're casting this vision from up front, and you're getting a response back by the smiles, the nods, the shaking of the heads, going, yeah, yeah, we can do it. And then having people, that had to feel pretty good.
It felt really good, Randy. I mean, and I think, again, it's one thing to have people nod their head and say, yes, we can do this, and we like it. It's another thing when people start coming up to you and telling you, and this is how I'm going to contribute, and this is what I can do. And I had a lot of that. I mean, one example is I had somebody come up to me who said, hey, I work for a tech company that has a piece of technology that I feel like is exactly the answer to some of the questions that you guys probably have about these microsites and how to create connection, and this piece of technology that their company has, we're going to look at it. We don't know, but what they were describing sounded like an answer to a question we didn't have an answer to.
Wow.
And so it's just, and to think that this person, I didn't even know that they worked for this particular, I didn't know they worked for this company. I didn't know they were in that tech sector, but they are perfectly positioned to help us. And they're like, I don't care whether you buy our product from my company, I just want to help you find the solution that's going to help us get there. And, you know, just to have that kind of support, that's just one example. I had other people coming up to me and saying, hey, I'm interested. I think I can help with the microsite. And so it's just, to me, that was what was exciting. It's an easy thing for everybody to smile and say, yeah, yeah, that's great. Let's do this. It's another thing for people to start saying, hey, and this is how I can contribute to making this happen. And because like I said in the sermon, this is not something that's just going to happen because the staff or the board want it to happen. It's going to be something that happens because God works through every single one of us in our church to make this happen. And to hear people really catching on to that and being excited about it. I've had so many people come up to me and send me emails and say, I'm all in. I am all in on this. Not just the vision, but the updated values and the updated mission. Our mission hasn't changed. We've just updated it. And people are like, and I love that additional language in there that kind of shows how we took something that was a vision. It's become so much a part of who we are that it's now a part of our mission, you know, that church without walls part. And I'm just super excited for what the future has. And I genuinely don't know how we're going to accomplish everything. I don't think I have all the answers. What I do feel like is that God's put on my heart and on the leadership of our church's heart, a vision for where we're going. And that's really where the Apple illustration comes in. It's about vision is not about vision for an organization is not about what you can see. It's about what you imagine.
Yeah.
It's about what through God's holy inspired imagination, it's about seeing what's possible versus what is. And that's really what separates people and churches who are really making forward progress from those who are just keeping status quo or even declining. Status quo and declining sees what is and operates with what is. Mm. And churches that are growing operate within what is possible, not what is, but they say, yeah, this is where we are, but this is where God could have us. And they're open to it, not always looking exactly the way they imagined, but the way that God leads towards his vision for the church. And I think that's a really important thing for us at Whole Life is to, we have a vision, but I want to hold loosely to it. I want to be flexible so that if God has a better plan than the one that he's put in our hearts to start off with, that I'm flexible enough to make the pivots that need to be made to accomplish God's vision for Whole Life and for where God's taking us.
Mm, I like that. So I got asked this by two separate people a little bit differently, but essentially their question was the same in that, okay, first 5 weeks, you laid it out for us, you described it, you put the bowling analogy in so we can understand it, we got it, we're excited about it, we want to do just what you just described, be a part of it, we want to lend our personal and spiritual gifts to however this gets accomplished, whatever God has in store for us. But the question essentially was, what do we do now that we're going to be moving on in our message series? And where do we go from here? Is there going to be more updates? Are we going to be rolling more things out that we maybe haven't told them about yet? And how do they get involved? Because it seems like the excitement and the, like, everyone's on board and we're all in, but what's our next step? Just like, what's our next step with Jesus? What's our next step with this Amplify 2036?
Yeah, a great question. So number one, I would ask you to stay excited and to dream on what these things can look like. And if you have input, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are and your dreams are for this. But our process right now is that we, on Sunday, actually, your church board met for we called it a mini retreat. So we met Sunday to have a board meeting, but the major part of that board meeting was spent talking about the Amplify 2036 vision and where we're going from here. And so the church board has given me some directions on what they are, what next steps they would like to see us do and head in that direction. And so as you know, Randy and Lucas, we're having a staff retreat, I think next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up quick. So we have our staff retreat next week. So I'll be bringing to the staff board's directions and what they're saying, hey, this is where we want you to head. And these are the things we want the staff to start creating frameworks around. And a lot of it's stuff we're already creating frameworks around, but they kind of give a little bit more direction on that. And then they also ask, once the staff have kind of done some initial work, that the staff is going to bring that work to our strategic planning committee that's going to be meeting in early March to talk about these things and to kind of give us more direction. So that's all things that are they're happening. So that's kind of our next steps. And you can kind of expect as a community to be hearing updates as we go. We're definitely not going to just talk about it right now and then kind of not say anything about it again for another 5 years. It's going to be something you're going to be hearing on a pretty regular basis. We're planning to be doing town halls on probably about 2-3 times a year. And during those town halls, part of that time will be spent talking about our vision and where we're headed and what we're doing. And so the big things that we're going to really be exploring right now is rolling out the growth pathway that I talked about and really implementing that. That's the first priority that the board and that myself and our staff that we really want to prioritize. And the second after that is to really kind of explore what the 100 churches and microsites network is going to look like. And so there's a couple different options on the table that we're trying to hone in on and say, okay, we have options. What's the priority? What's the next step when it comes to that? And it's a little early for me to just throw out into the general atmosphere those thoughts, but with the staff, I'll definitely be sharing the board's thoughts on what they think is the next step. And we as a staff will then be doing some research about the viability for the goals, and we'll be talking more about that. But this is where we are going to be placing our energy for the next 10 years. It's not other things obviously are going to happen. We're still going to have our worship services. We're still going to visit people in hospitals. We're still going to provide counseling and encouragement to those who need it. We're going to be that church without walls that cares about our community. And our major output is going to be to say, okay, we have a vision of expanding, of amplifying that culture of spiritual growth, that culture of inclusion, that culture of wholeness. We have a vision of expanding that into 100 churches and microsites that make up a Whole Life network. And that's really where we're going to be putting our energy and focus. And I'm excited about it. I think it's something God's called us to, and I think it's something that will make this world a better place, and I think it will be something that helps people grow in Jesus, and by them growing in Jesus, they are going to help the world around them grow in Jesus. Hmm.
Well, that's exciting that we're not wasting any time. We don't have any time to waste if we're going to get this.
No, we don't. We're already 3 months behind.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm excited to hear about all this coming up next week at staff retreat. That sounds good. All right. Questions with Lucas. Take it away, sir.
Yes, sir. So the first one is kind of funny. Question for Ken. I grew up in Washington State where apples are so delicious and popular. They're like the state fruit. We never heard of North Carolina apples. I'm sure they're good. But can you give a little credit to Washington apples, maybe? Nashville Tim.
Oh, man.
Well, Nashville Tim, I grew up in North Carolina, and I didn't even know Washington State produced apples. So apparently, we both learned something new on Sabbath. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure that Washington State apples are lovely. I lived out there. I just never went to an apple festival out there, so I don't feel like you guys love the apples as much as we do in Western North Carolina.
I love it.
All right. Second question. I'm all in. What specifically can each of us do to help achieve our church goals?
Ooh.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's along the lines of what Randy asked a little bit earlier, and I think that's on a lot of minds. So I think I'm thankful for that question. I just want to reiterate, what can you do? Number one, I would ask you to be praying about this every day. I know pastors say this a lot, and I sometimes have felt skeptical when I've heard other pastors or where leaders say, oh, I just need you to pray about this. But I genuinely believe this is something that's not going to happen unless God is directly intervening and directly working in this process. So I really want to ask you to be praying about this, not just every so often, but every day. Just be praying that for God to have his will be done at Whole Life and to make this Amplified 2036 be exactly what he wants it to be. So number one, I'm asking you to pray about it. Number two, I want you to start thinking, there are some of you out there that are listening to me right now that God might be putting on your heart that maybe you could be leading a microsite. You might be a leader who could start a microsite, or you might have some ideas about creating a church plant satellite campus of Whole Life or something like that. If that's something God's put on your heart, then I would love to hear from you. Even if you're not sure you're all in on being the leader of that, if it's something that's maybe just playing in the back of your mind, you're like, I don't know, I would love to hear from you, because we really want to start exploring what those microsites could look like and what would be behind them. One of the things that we know for sure is that to be a microsite, there's going to be training involved. There's going to be some expectations of what that would look like. And so I would love to get the right size group of people to start beta testing some of the ideas that are going to be coming up in the next couple months and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And so if that's something God's put on your heart, I would really love to hear from you. And then the others of you, if you're hearing this and you're wondering, what can I do? I'm not really interested in being a microsite. Maybe I live right here in Orlando and I'm, I want to be a part of the main campus and, that sort of thing. Well, one of the things that I could use from you is just your involvement in our church and what it's doing, whether that's helping out in any number of different areas within our 2800 North Orange Avenue campus. If you can help out with various things, one of the things, I hate that Freud won't like hearing me say that. Well, I don't know. Freud probably will like hearing me say this. But one of the things I would love to see at our church is that every week we have a potluck, that when we have visitors, that we can always be inviting the visitors to come and have a meal on site with us. But for us to do that, it's going to require a lot of coordination for that to happen. Right now we have a once a month visitors lunch, but I'd love to make it where we were doing that every week, because we have visitors every week. And it's a nice thing to be able to say, hey, we've got a potluck here, stay and eat. And it's a nice thing also for church members who maybe crave being with other church members to be able to have a potluck that they can bring food to and be a part of, along with guests that we have at the church. So, I mean, that's some small ideas. And then maybe there's some things that, like, you have on your heart. You're like, man, I would really love to see Whole Life have X, Y, Z. And again, what we want you to do is come talk to us about that and say, God's kind of put this on my heart. I'd like to see this happen. And you know what we're going to say right back to you? Fantastic. How can we resource you? How can we help you make what God is dreaming come to life? So one of the things I want to be really clear about is that our Amplified 2036 is this, it is our moon landing project. It is the big, it is the big lift, but there are so many other things that have to still happen and that we still need to be growing in and expanding in. And so if God's put it on your heart, we'd just like to hear from you. So number one, pray. Number two, if there's something that you hear God saying, hey, this might be something, come and chat with me or one of the other pastoral team. And then again, I hate to say it, but one of the things, again, if you're really resonating with this, this is going to cost some money to make this happen. This isn't just going to happen. And so while we're really grateful for how financially supported this church is, we're going to actually need to increase that financial support. We're going to have to figure out ways to generate more funding if we're going to be able to accomplish these big, audacious goals that God has put on our hearts. And so in a very real sense, if you're able to help financially, if you've never helped before, we'd appreciate that. If you believe in this vision, and if you believe in where Whole Life is going, and also if you're already helping, but maybe you can help a little bit more financially, we'd appreciate that too. Again, we're not, for me, I'm not the person who's going to sit here and tell you have to give, because I just trust that people give according to what they're capable and what they can. But I will tell you that is a real part of what it's going to take for us to be able to expand. I mean, if we're going to be working with microsites, if we're going to be having 100 of them, it's not the staff that we currently have won't be able to support that volume. We're going to have to get some more people on board to help us. If we're going to be planting churches in different places, we're going to need to have staff that can support that. So it's going to take a lot more support. It's going to take more logistical support. It's going to take more pastoral support. And I'm really grateful. I'm hearing support from this, not just from our church members, but I'm hearing support coming in from the Florida Conference. They're really open to chatting with us about different opportunities and funding mechanisms. But in the end, it's really going to come down to us as a Whole Life Church, all of us together, to make this lift together.
Absolutely. No, that's, man, that's, I'm getting all excited all over again just listening to you talk about all the components that it's going to take. And just wondering, you know, a year from now, when we look back at the process that it took to put this in place, the buy-in and where we've come in a year, I'm excited to think about that too, even though, like you said, there's going to be a lot of work involved. There's going to be a lot of pieces that have to be put in place and set in motion and managed. And, but the idea that there would be maybe even after a year, just 5 or 10 microsites or other places, like you mentioned, maybe at a hospital or wherever, to see that growth is going to be pretty exciting. So guys, thank you.
Can I put out a little bit of a warning on this? let me say something really quick. So when I was pastoring in Nashville, when I first started off pastoring the Madison Campus Church in Nashville, we lived about 30 minutes away from the church if traffic was perfect. And if it wasn't perfect, it could be an hour. I think one time there was an accident. It was 2 hours to get to the church. And so we knew we needed to live closer. But shockingly, or maybe not shockingly, we discovered that the most affordable option for us was to build a house in a neighborhood that basically, you know, when you say build a house, you have all these grand ideas. It wasn't like that. It was this builder who was developing a neighborhood, and you could point at the design, one of three designs that he did, and then you could choose the color of the walls. That was so it was not like building your customized dream house or anything like that. But it was the most affordable option for us out of all of our options. And so we picked pointed our finger at what we wanted. And I'm telling you, we picked it and I thought nothing was happening for 6 months. It just looked like, they dug the footers, they put in the foundation, and then it just sat. And I thought, these people are doing nothing. Nothing is happening here. But one of the things that I do know a little bit about construction, having worked a little bit in high school in that. And one of the things I know is that in order to build a house the right way, it takes time. And a lot of times that you won't see a whole lot of activity. And then all of a sudden it goes up really quick because of all the pre-work that's been done to make it happen the right way.
Yeah.
And so what I want people to understand with this Amplify 2036 is, This isn't, oh, we're going to have 100 churches in 10 years and microsites. So, and this year we're going to have 10. Next year we're going to create 10. The year after that we're going to create 10. And that's how it's going to work. I would suggest to you that probably what's going to be, it's going to look like there's going to be a lot of pre-work that's going to happen that may not be as visible as I would like it to be, because people get excited when they see the visible, but it's going to be a lot of work underneath the surface to create the strong foundation that will support something that really needs support, and it will crumble if you don't put the right infrastructure in first. And so what I want people to know is, if you don't see 10 microsites or a church plant this year, that doesn't mean nothing is happening. It means that we're creating the support systems to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that it will be there. Now, I don't know. You might see five this year. I don't know, because we're still in the process of figuring out. But I also want to, I want to make sure that I correctly set expectations for what you're going to see too.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it could be that, I mean, it would be a little disheartening, but all 100 could come in year 9 or 10 if it was really, I mean, I think that's probably pushing it a little bit. But
I think my, and this is my personal guess, Randy, my guess is that you're going to really start seeing the momentum really pick up in around year 4 or 5. That's where I think you're going to really start seeing, I mean, I think that's where you're really going to see the, you know, the framework, the frame, you're going to see the roof going on, you're going to see the walls being painted, you're going to start seeing, I think it's, that's where you're really going to start seeing the major progress. But I also want you to be very clear that progress will only happen if we're working really hard right now between years 1 and 4 to really create that. And I'll be honest with you, Randy, I hope, I mean, it won't hurt my feelings if we've done our work correctly, if we wind up with more than 100.
Yeah, no,
if,
for sure.
If, you know, somebody was like, well, what if we get to 100 in 5 years? And I said, well, then we will be going for, we will keep on going, and we will, you know, we'll keep on going.
We'll just make more boxes to check.
There we are.
That's it. Well, I mean, once you've checked all the boxes, the only option is to make more boxes. So
well, I think, yeah, exactly. There
that's
you go.
It. Well, guys, you know, this is all super exciting. And even with, you know, the expectations, like Ken just kind of laid out, like, you know, it may not happen as fast as anyone would like. Who knows what it's going to look like, but just, you know, putting that little caveat there. But, you know, the thing that makes all of this possible is us, you. And so when you think about that, you know, just like, you know, coming up to Ken after the message and finding out how can I be involved? I have ideas. You know, we love it here in the podcast when you do, because we get a chance to, you know, answer your questions and take your feedback. And so always 407-965-1607, you can send your questions, your comments by text or voicemail, or always email podcast@wholelife.church. And we love for you to be a part of the part of the conversation here, but part of the overall, this Amplify 2036, it's going to take each one of us. So please don't hesitate to reach out to Ken or to any of the information I just gave you there. We'll make sure it gets to the right place. If you have ideas or want to be involved, please don't hesitate to just let us know, because the more people that start off early and start helping the starting the push towards that same direction, the more people we have, you know, the faster, the fuller, the better that God has more tools to use for helping us get this taken care of. And maybe just, who knows, like Ken said, maybe it'll be more than 100. You know, what if we hit 200? I mean, that'd be crazy, but with God.
What if we hit 1,000?
Oh, wow. He went there. I was like, if I up the ante, will Ken up it again? He did.
You know I will.
But he just, but he really did. Okay. So guys, you don't want to miss this week. As Ken mentioned, he'll be back on Thursday. He'll be here for the weekend. Although you're not preaching, do you want to share the special guest?
Jessica Brazier is our guest speaker. She is wonderful. I think you can go, Randy, we have it online, right? Her info about her.
Yeah. It's in the events calendar.
Yep.
Yeah. It's an events calendar. So go check that out. And then the marvelous Gail Murphy is doing our concert Saturday evening. It is going to be, she has, my understanding, she has a number of friends that are coming to join her for that concert. It is fantastic. I was just talking to, I saw Gail last Sabbath at Whole Life for a memorial service that was happening, and we had a chat, and you do not want to miss this concert. I'm just telling you right now, you miss this concert, you are going to be truly sad, because it is phenomenal what she's got planned for it. Don't miss out on that. So it's going to be a real super special Sabbath at Whole Life this upcoming Sabbath, February 7th. And then on Valentine's Day, February 14th, I'm going to start a new sermon series called The Greatest of These. And I'm going to be talking about love for 4 weeks. And you know, in English, we have one word for love, basically, that we use, and it can be used in a lot of different ways. And so in biblical times, there was, in particular, when Paul was writing the New Testament, there were in Greek four different words that meant love, but different kinds of love. And so we're going to be talking about two of those words are used in the New Testament, and two of those words are not used in the New Testament. So I'm actually going to talk about, even though the two words are not used in the Old Testament, I'm sorry, I said Old Testament, New Testament, even though one of those words is not, it's either two or one, I'm still working on my research. So anyway, even though some of those words are not used in the New Testament, I'm still going to do a sermon about that kind of love and how it does play into the Bible and what you need to know about it. And one of those words is eros, that is not used in the New Testament, and that's that word is what we would consider more of romantic love. It's where we get the word erotic from, and so we're going to be talking about that one on February 14th.
Spicy.
And then, should be. Don't worry, we'll keep it PG. It seems like an appropriate one. So, you know, if the word eros in Greek is not used in the New Testament, does that mean that God is not in favor of that kind of romantic love? So we're going to take a look at what we think God really thinks about romantic love, and we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to work our way through a couple of the other Greek words for love and what they mean over 4 weeks.
Nice. Well, so come this week and kick off our Black History Month celebration with Jessica and Gail and friends, and plan to spend the day. I mean, if you can. I don't know. There's plenty of places to eat around the church. There's plenty of spots on campus that are in the shade. Bring a picnic lunch. I don't know. Maybe you want to sit in the sun. I'm not sure if shade is what's going to be in order. I haven't looked at the forecast.
There's a couple really nice parks near us that you can.
That's true. Matthews Park has a little pavilion and everything. Yeah. So plan to spend the day is the idea, because you are going to not want to miss, especially, I mean, if Kyla says Jessica is a sure thing, like don't miss, and she's a big deal, then I trust in Kyla. I trust.
Yep. My daughter does not steer people wrong.
No, so, I know that much.
You can trust Kyla.
That's it. So do plan on being here for that. And then I'm excited to hear this new, the greatest of these series. This sounds like it's a good way for us to follow up the greatest or the greater things. Goodness gracious. So it sounds like we've got a couple of weeks. Well, we got a whole month upcoming that you're not going to want to miss. And of course, just keep your ears peeled as we keep working towards Amplify 2036. And again, if you have questions or you'd like to find a way to participate in early on and just like jump in with both feet, send an email to ken@wholelife.church. I think that's it. All right. Well, Ken, we'll let you get back to your meetings and your fine weather, and we'll just turn up the heat here and suffer through.
Stay warm.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week. Thanks for listening to This Is Whole Life. If today's conversation resonated with you, we invite you to subscribe, share, and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. To join the conversation, send a text or voicemail to 407-965-1607 or email podcast@wholelife.church. To learn more about Whole Life Church, worship with us online or in person, visit our website, wholelife.church. Until next time, this is Whole Life.